tired tonight. I happen to be the good kind of tired. And I told this to a couple people already tonight. Oh, you know, I don't always look forward to doing Mass. Sometimes it's like, oh gosh, okay, we got to do this. It's a lot of work. Maybe you feel the same way sometimes. Tonight, I guess this week's been so hectic and full and challenging that it's like, oh, all I have to do is pray. Oh, that's great. And there's a sense in which I'm actually doing what the second reading says, rejoice in the Lord. I'm rejoicing in the Lord. And so he says, brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord always. I shall say it again, rejoice. Now, there's two things here. One is what I'm talking about that I'm experiencing right now is not really a decision. It's just like, I'm just, thank you, Jesus. You're awesome. The Eucharist is awesome. The Mass is awesome. I love praying with my parish. And I don't have to do anything else right now except worship God. And that's what I want to do. And that's what Sundays are about. And so thank you, Lord. That's rejoicing in the Lord. Like, that's good. But there's another aspect to this. Because a lot of times when we come to Mass tired, when I come to Mass tired, I'll just speak for myself because that's what I usually do anyways when I'm preaching, is I come and I'm tired and I don't feel like rejoicing in the Lord. I don't feel like it. And so that's where we have to receive these words as a commandment. That's why he says it twice. Brothers and sisters, rejoice. Imagine him like pounding the pulpit. Rejoice in the Lord. I'll say it again, rejoice. And like pointing at you. And you know, like what he's trying to do is say, this is a commandment and therefore a decision. I can decide to rejoice in the Lord. And he says always because it's give thanks to God in all circumstances. In all circumstances, not necessarily for all circumstances, but in them. And that's why he says rejoice in the Lord. What am I rejoicing in? Maybe it's not my circumstance, but I'm rejoicing in the Lord. There's another sense in which we get tempted to rejoice in other things. Too much, right? We hope for them to bring us a lasting joy. Inevitably, this is the human condition, and we know God is good, and we know heaven is awesome. But we're right now so into this maybe this earthly thing that we forget to rejoice in the Lord, and we're like, oh yeah, I gotta go to church, but I really want to be golfing. I gotta go to church, but I really want to be. I'm not even gonna say, you know what I would say, but I gotta go to church. And there's a little bit of a have to in there. But when he says, rejoice in the Lord always, again, I say rejoice. He's saying this is actually a decision as well. Like something that we decide. Joy is a decision. In the sense that in which it's Jesus, others, and then you, spelling joy, it's a decision every day of our lives in many different ways. But it's also, it's a decision of like, all right, am I going to go to church good tired? Or, that's not what I meant to ask. Am I going to go to church bad tired? Like, you know the difference, right? The grumpy tired. I'm not grumpy tired. I'm like punch drunk tired or something. So easy for me to say right now. That's why I'm preaching on it, because it's easy to say right now. Later I'll be like, oh, I have to do that. And he says you can choose. And in fact, I think this is how we love God a lot. It's how we trust him. It's how we follow him, as we decide to rejoice in him and who he is and his goodness. And when we do that, one of the things that we're doing is we're receiving, it's because we receive his love. The first reading, do not be discouraged. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty Savior. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will sing joyfully because of you, as one sings at festivals. Have you ever thought of, imagine what that looks like, God rejoicing over you? And Parents do this over their children all the time, especially when they're little, but sometimes when they're older too. And receiving his joy in us, that's our strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And that's also how we rejoice in the Lord, is we receive his joy in us. And that, boy, we just, sometimes we just forget that we have that kind of strength to choose. By God's grace and by our free will, we can choose to rejoice in the Lord. And it can be in the midst of a lot of tiredness, a lot of difficulty. It can be in the midst of a lot of things. But we can choose to do that. And when we do that, we really do. It's invisibly, we set our hearts on him. And he is the one that we expect to receive joy from. So when we're rejoicing in other things too much, you know, when we're putting too much stock in earthly things, we're putting our hope for joy in things that are going to be blown away by the wind. I recently learned about what a winnowing fan is from one of my staff members. I didn't know what it was. Winnowing fan. So the gospel, going to the gospel now. His winnowing fan is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. The chaff is like it's really light, it's lightweight. If there's a farmer here and I'm doing this wrong, it's not my fault. This is just what I was told, okay? I guess one way of doing it is like you throw up the grain in the air and you have a fan blowing and the air hits all that stuff and the actual grain, the actual wheat, it's heavy enough that the wind just falls right there. But when you throw it up, all the extra chaff, all the just, that stuff's so light and it just blows away by the wind. So you separate the wheat from the chaff. And I don't know how you do this in the ancient times. Maybe you use a blanket. But you create wind or you do it in the wind. And he's comparing that. When John the Baptist says this, he's talking about us. But we can also apply rejoicing in the Lord to this. Like all the stuff that's not quite worthy of our hopes, like where am I going to really find joy? Some of the stuff, you know, like sometimes it's just chaff. It's going to blow away with the wind. I feel like making a couple of football references to a couple of different teams this past year. I mean, sports is an easy whipping boy for this. I mean, but let's just use Alabama, for instance. And I'm sorry if you don't watch football. I need to expand my metaphor repertoire on this. But so what if Alabama wins the national championship? I think we all hope they don't. I was just looking for Alabama. Yeah, mostly nods. Okay. Or we don't care. But I guarantee you, like, the difference between, if you care about football, the difference between you and the person like next to you who does not care what I'm talking about right now is about 2 years. Maybe more. Maybe even less. Because eventually nobody's going to care who won the national. It's just the difference of a couple of years. It doesn't matter. And so is that really going to bring lasting joy in my life? Perhaps I told you that when I was a kid, I really thought I would be happy forever if the Chicago Bulls won the 1992 World Championship. NBA Finals, I guess we call it that now. You know, the difference is a couple of years or less. It's chaff. A lot of the stuff, it's chaff. It's not, it doesn't have that weight. It doesn't have that meaning. It doesn't have that purpose. Behind it doesn't have the weight of glory and eternity behind it. So when we come to the Lord, when we're commanded to rejoice in him, we're being commanded to do something that's really, it's training our hearts actually to choose the Lord, to delight in him, to expect that he's going to bring us joy in a way that other things can't, in a way that circumstances can't. In a way that not even sleep can. And the reality expressed here is that one of the realities is that, well, one of the realities is simply that God is good. And he loves us, and that's what he wants us to experience, is this Christian joy in the Lord. But another reality as part of that, the commandment aspect of it, is that our emotions will follow our will. And our desires and those follow our decisions. If we make decisions for the Lord, if we make decisions to rejoice in him, the heart's going to follow. Our emotions are going to be in it. You've heard the expression, fake it till you make it. I think that can be a really bad expression sometimes. Like, I think it's pretty much a bad expression. But it's similar to deciding to rejoice in the Lord, even when I don't feel like it, until my heart finally catches up with what I've chosen. This is a great grace for us. It's what the Lord invites us to today, especially, in a special way, on Sundays and here at Mass. So I think that what the Lord wants us to receive right now in this time of prayer is a lot of peace, but his love for us, and just we can kind of rest in his love for us, in his joy over you. Just for who you are, also for the fact that you're trying to love him, and he's also proud of you for all of the things that, all of the times when we try to choose him, and when we actually do, and he rejoices over us for all of these reasons, and for again, just by the fact that we are. But I think to rejoice in the Lord, I think what the Lord wants us to do this evening, and again, all the time, but a special way this evening, is to receive his joy over us and to rejoice in him. And I guess the word is enjoy this time of prayer. Enjoy our time worshiping the Lord. Enjoy this time at Mass.